thank you so much for joining us for day one of Royal Ascot on the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. I have assembled none other than Ruby Walsh and Matthew Chapman to go through all seven races on the first day. Yes, we now have seven race cards because of COVID. COVID has brought around some very nice things, to be fair. And this is one of those. And now, means Matt Chapman, you're going to be very, very busy next week on ITV, working all the way through. Are you putting in overtime all the way till 10 past six?
As you know, I am not like Ruby Walsh. I'm just happy that I'm wanted. I would never think of overtime or expenses. Not like Ruby, who has to have the limo arriving to pick him up, has to have the transport, has to have someone carry his bag to the rostrum and all that kind of stuff. Me, I just get the job done and I'm relieved that I'm wanted.
I was trying to figure out where it all went wrong. It was just that those demands, Matt, was it? That's where I scuppered my chances, was it?
It's best that I don't comment on these things. You know, just let's say that Whitney Houston's entourage was nothing compared to Ruby Walsh's.
Right.
I just thought that was the norm. Silly me.
Did you not bring an entourage to Alton Towers, Matt?
I had a great time though, I tell you. But I did have a moment of near sickness on this thing called the Smiler. Which, you know, it's really annoying when you go with your girlfriend to something like that and she just takes it in her stride and you're almost being violently sick at the end of it. And you just have to sit there. And I was like, literally sitting, I could feel myself welling up. I was thinking, just keep this down and just look cool. And I was like, please get me off this thing. But all the others I was fine with. It was just this, mind you, it might have been something to do with the large breakfast that I'd had half an hour before.
No, that's surely a criminal mistake, that one. I wouldn't even go near them. I don't know how you can still do that, Matt, to be honest. And clearly you're putting yourself through pressure just for herself, but... You know,
I love the coasters. I think it's a great day out. I really do.
Okay. Did you get a lifetime membership pass? As you mentioned them a few times. You haven't mentioned them in the pod enough. So
no, but they said next time just mention the name Ruby Walsh and you'll get in free.
Yeah, absolutely, no bother.
And you get that fast pass as well.
Oh, yeah. Even better. Limo to every ride. Right, let's talk about Royal Ascot, lads. Let's get day one underway. It kicks off with probably the hottest favourite of the week. The Queen Anne sees Palace Pier at the time of recording 4-9 favourite. 9-2 Order of Australia, been very popular after Ryan Moore was confirmed on board. Lopi Fernandez at 10-1 as his top rank. 20-1 Regal Reality, 22-1 Lord Glitters, 25-1 Sir Busco. Right, guys. Ruby, we on the Anti-Post pod not too long ago, we spoke about this race. We didn't spend too long on Palace Pier because we think he's going to win.
Yeah, I look, that's fairly obvious, isn't it, PK? He's the one they all have to beat. And it's whether you want to back something against him each way, I suppose, which it's such a, it's 11 runners, so you're going to have an each way market. or even without him, that's about the only angle there is for punters. Unless you want to steam in at 4-9, and maybe that's a winner's a winner. Maybe that's the best thing to do. But when you look through them, what do you go with without him? I'm not certain what Lopi Fernandez's best trip is. And outside of him, it only really leaves you with Order of Australia. The rest just have too much to make up on official ratings. And it's trying to pick the one that'll be second. Obviously, Order of Australia is priced that way for that very reason. Lord Glitters is now an 8-year-old. Consistent sort, just not getting any better. Look, maybe if you have to, I'd be going with Order Australia without. Whatever price that'll be, 7-1 shot without a 4-9 shot, but 12-1 the next one. I don't know. I'm not a bookmaker. It's a fifth of the odds. Wouldn't really pay to back him each way, I suppose. But there's no danger to Palace Pier. I think we're just wasting time talking about this race. Palace Pier and move on.
He's 5-4 without at the moment. We never waste time, Matt.
Well, no, I mean, and he talked about it for quite a long while, to be quite honest. Just sat here waiting. Look, everything you said, sometimes there has to be reality. And obviously, when you're doing a bookmaker blog, it's not ideal if you say, well, this is not really a betting race, because that's kind of not what a bookmaker's podcast would be about. But the good thing about Paddy is he likes us to be relatively real. And, you know, I think we all agree that Palace Pier has to fall over not to win. So you got the winner. And as far as each way is concerned, it's not that sexier each way race, because the problem is outside of Palace Pier, almost anything could happen. So it's hard to say, well, that's likely to finish in the frame or that's likely to finish in frame, because basically any of the others could hit the frame. If someone put the gun to my head and said, okay, well, I'm not fussed about the win. Palace Pier might have a headache on the day. Just give me something that could cause an upset. I'd go with the old boy, Lord Glitters, who's perfectly capable of getting in the mix, and he'll be a big price. But to be honest with you, you know, when Frankel won here, he wasn't a betting proposition. Not every race is going to have a good bet in it. And to, I think we all think Palace Pier will win. As I say, if there was just a race going, having a fun day out, and the money didn't matter, and they just wanted to have a five each way or something, I'd say, look, have a bit of fun with Lord Glitters and see what happens.
Fair enough, lads. Fair enough, lads. I won't press any further on it. We'll move on to the Coventry, which is, of course, the big two-year-old race for colts. It's over six furlongs. Well, I say it is. The Norfolk's also Group 2. 7-2. Coffee Maker, I think is how you pronounce this one. The Wesley Ward, Johnny Velasquez colt at 7-2. If you think he's a colt, he can't throw the odd filly. And 9-2 for
Defab.
He can throw the odd filly, can't he? And he does quite, I think he does a lot better with his fillies than his colts, as far as I can remember. They generally look like colts, those ones. So Coffee Maker, the filly getting the allowances, 7-2. 9-2 Defab. 11-2 The Acropolis. Quite impressive at Listowel for Aidan O'Brien. Ryan Moore's pick, 6-1 about Ebro River and Gisburn. And Masetto. Okay, we go to you, Matt, first. The Coventry.
Yeah, Patrick, always good to do a little bit of research for the podcast, I suspect, because you banged in a nap at the weekend. You're all over it now, aren't you? All Mr. Cocky. But anyway, look, I think it's actually called Coffee Maker, but we'll call it
really?
Coffee Maker because it, yeah, we'll call it the Coffee Maker because I think it, yeah, anyway, it is. I don't really want... I'm going to tip up, actually, I think, a filly against the colts in another race, but I don't usually like going for the fillies against colts. And I like Gisburn each way here for Pat Dobbs and Richard Hannon. Son of Ribchester, run twice at Newbury. You know that there's going to be some quality in a Newbury sort of maidens and novices, etc. Hacked up in a big field as well last time. And the horse he beat that day has since run all right at Haydock. So form looks solid. Gisburn each way.
Gisburn for Matt Ruby.
I'm between two, actually, each way as well. I don't know. Coffee Maker, one over 4.5 in Keeneland. This is now 6 furlongs. Who knows? It might go on Bolton, but I'm afraid I can't really, not that great a judge of Keeneland form. I was between Masetto and Ebro River. Ebro River improved plenty from his debut, won well at Doncaster and backed it up at Sandown when it beat Little Earl. But I don't think Masetto would have won at the Curragh. I think Castle Star would have won either way if Masetto got out. But it was an unlucky second. It should have finished closer. By territory, he's having a good year. I think Dunica's horses have definitely running better now than they were when this horse last ran. He's had two winners in the last fortnight and plenty of place horses. Gavin Ryan takes the ride. I think each way at 8-1, big field, in around 8-1, I think Masetto.
Okay, two lads taking on the American filly. Although she might look like a colt, you never know. We'll see what she looks like in the parade ring in the Coventry Stakes. Now, the 340 is the second of the group ones on a brilliant opening day. And the King Stand sees the return to the track of Batash, who obviously found Blue Point a couple of times too good, but he got his just desserts, so to speak, last year in the rescheduled Royal Ascot. He's our favourite at 2-1 at the moment. He's quite weak, 2-1 at the moment for Batash. Winter Power, 4-1, 6-1, the American Extravagant Kid, 15-2 for Ox Ted, July Cup winner, Liberty Beach, 10-1 and 14-1, and bigger the rest, Rupert Walsh. You're first up.
Yeah, look, I tipped Extravagant Kid, PK, when we did this anti-post, and I'm probably going to stick with him. At the time, I was wondering, I was kind of hoping Ryan would ride him. But look, I think Brendan Mulch's got a fairly able deputy in Frankie Dettori. Obviously, Ryan has to ride, keep busy for John Quinn in Doreen Tabor's colours. But I just like Extravagant Kid's style of running for this. He's a strong traveller, but he does like to come at horses. And Batash is surely going to make this a really strong race. I'm sure Jim Crowley will be trying to keep the shackles on him some bit, but he fresh, a crowd back in Ascot, he's going to rock and roll. And if he starts to fade, I think Extravagant Kid will be coming at him, and that's the one I fancy.
Mr. Chapman?
Well, it's a really hard betting race because I think we'd probably all agree that if the real Batash turns up, Batmobile will destroy them and gobble this up like I do a kebab on a night out. But the big question
or during a podcast, Matt.
Got a nice chicken wing. I mean, it's very hard to know, isn't it? I mean, he's had a fracture. He's been off a long time, but he always wins first time out. He has an incredible record fresh. So he could easily win. As for the bet, though, I'll keep it very simple, very short. I think Oxted is a terrific each-way bet. down a furlong in Trip, going to be running at a strong pace. But most importantly, he's got his soulmate back, Kieran Fallon. He's had Ryan Moore the last twice, didn't seem to really like Moore much. And perhaps he feels to get a better chat from Kieran Fallon on the way down or something. So I'm going to go with Oxted. I think, you know, there are quick stat, 11 out of the 16, I think, are rated 110 or lower. That basically means they're listed or group three class, 11 of them. There's only five really in here that should be capable of winning it. And a July Cup winner at a big price, I'm happy to go with Oxted each way.
Okay, no votes for Batash in the King Stand. Oxted for Max Travenkit for Ruby sticking to his anti-post guns. We move on to the St. James's Palace Stakes, due off at 4:20. We've got Poetic Flair, busy. A horse who went to all the guineas across Europe. He's the 7-2 favourite at the time of recording. 11-2 for Battleground, a winner at the Royal Ascot last year, but not much since. 11-2 for Mostadaf, 7-1 Highland Avenue, and Lucky Vega. Could this be his last run before he goes to Australia for stud? 8-1 Chindit and Thunder Moon. And 16's bar, Matt, you're first.
Okay, most people think I'm going to be absolutely bonkers now. The best each way bet in this, I think, is Chindit. But my tip each way is going to be the horse who's been absolutely useless in two runs this season, Wembley. And it's been ditched by Ryan Moore. But I think that's a good thing, isn't it? Because Aiden usually puts Ryan on the wrong one. So that I see as a positive. You know, in the Derby, he only gave him one to choose from. It's still the wrong one. So whatever he does, he gets it wrong. Wembley for me, look, if he wasn't ready in the 2000 guineas, as a lot of Aidens weren't at that time, he then went to the Irish 2000 and was even worse, but it was heavy ground. So I would forgive any horse running badly in those conditions. If he has trained on in any way, this is his chance to bounce back to, you know, the second in the Dewhurst is the best bit of form probably any of these have got. That form looks really good. Smart Basilica, clearly the best three-year-old colt around, who won the Dewhurst. So it's a leap of faith. You're getting a huge price about a horse at one stage that most thought was the best three-year-old colt in the yard. Now you're getting a huge price. So I'll take the risk.
Wembley. England win at Wembley a couple of days ago. Can Wembley win at Royal Ascot? Ruby, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think there's definitely value in here. And I'd be against the favourite, Poetic Flair. She's running three group ones. She's had a run in a trial as well. She's fifth run of the season. Maybe he will have bounced out of it and be 100%. But I think you'd have to be wary of it. I was a huge Battleground fan last season. I ran okay at the Breeders' Cup. Didn't show at all in the guineas. Lucky Vega's a decent horse. I tipped Chindit each way on the anti-post, and I wouldn't put anybody off that. But like Matt, I'm going for a bigger value as well. And I think Lab Barossa could outrun his odds at 20-1. He's a couple of poor runs, but they're both on heavy ground and softer heavy ground. He's disappointed in the Curragh behind Max Sweeney, and he ran terrible last year in St. Cloud behind Van Gogh. They were on really testing ground. He was second to Master of the Seas, even in the Craven. That's a pretty good run. And he'd won on his other two starts on decent ground at Ascot and at Newmarket. So I think at 20-1, La Barossa could be great value.
Two big each way shouts from Matt and Ruby. And remember, money back all losers if Poetic Flair wins in your Paddy Power shop. So great way to take on the Fav there with that insurance policy.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Now, we are going to move on to the 5 o'clock. This is the first of the National Hunt Races at Royal Ascot. Albeit this one's a group one of the flat. This one is not a group one. That comes on Thursday. This is a handicap over the Ascot Gold Cup trip. And Ruby, we have to go straight to you because MC Muldoon, 4-1 favourite. You did flag this up on the anti-post that he would be heading here, but you weren't sure that he was well handicapped. So where do you still stand there?
I don't know about well handicapped, but look, I think when you look at this race, you look back through to me, you think, which of these has been running well over jumps, fit, going to stay. And when you look at them, MC Muldoon was unlucky at Punchestown in the winners of one novice hurdle, Patrick Rowland, that bypassed the third last and the second last because of low-lying sun. And he got caught in a pocket, never got out, flying home behind Al Barra. But is that going to be good enough? He was second Echoes and Ray in a fairy house prior to that, but there was no second. Ray, a poor of Willie's. So he had the one run for Willie, but he got beaten in a Kilbega maiden hurdle. And that's the only form I have to go on with him. He was third to Palm Beach. Palm Beach has been beaten since. Royal Illusion won a maiden hurdle well at Leopardstown, was third to Delvino first time, won second time, fell at the last behind Sky Ace in a grade one. She had a really good run in last year's Irish Cesara, which where she came from way off the pace. She subsequently got disqualified. But it's the horse she ran behind that really interests me, and that's Cape Gentleman. Cape Gentleman's a 140 rated hurdler. MC Muldoon's a 131. Rayepo ran to about 115 at Kilbeggan. Royal Illusion, she's about 130 as well. So I just think Cape Gentleman, it could be a Mullins winner, but I think Emmett could end up being a thorn in Willie's side. And he's just, his jump form is stronger than MC Muldoon's. He'd won run on the fat for Emmett. He won the Irish Cesara, which last year. I think he's the solid one. I'd be worried about Emmett taking down us and Willie's.
Is there anything Rachel Blackmore can't do? Could she get a Royal Ascot winner? She's booked at 4 Cape Gentlemen. Matt, your thoughts?
I'd be worried about Emmett ever taking down Willie, but that's another story. Mullins, he's an absolute genius, and I think he sees things that even perhaps that Ruby Walsh doesn't see when he's training these horses. If he thinks they've got chances, I'm sure they have.
They have massive chances, Matt. I've no doubt about that.
Yeah.
They've both been primed and aimed at this, and they won't be that far apart the work they're doing. But when I look through the opposition, I was pretty pleased not to see John Queeley's Arcadian Sunrise declared. I think that could win the Galway Hurdle. But I looked at Cape Gentleman and thought, ooh.
Remember him battling on well over hurdles at Kempton? Do you remember him? He's a good horse. Look, I'm going to keep it simple, though. I'm going away from the Irish Raiders because I don't think we're without a chance of winning this. It is a jumps trainer, and it is the defending champion, Coeur de Lion. He's only £3 higher than last year. A lot of people say at the age of 8 he's too old, but he's not too old at the age of 8. Old horses win these types of handicaps because, let's be frank, a lot of the horses don't stay properly. Now, Colonel Leon's a bit of a character. You can't always guarantee him to run his race, but he's been in this race a load of times. Usually he runs well in it. He's got a good draw to work from. Tor Hammer Hansen, who rode him to perfection and seemed to get on with him really well last year, is on board again. And on his most recent run, he was running on strongly in the Chester Cup in fourth, which is 2 furlongs shorter than the Ascot Stakes. So I think he's got a great each way chance again. He's only, if he'd have won it with £3 more last year, he absolutely hacked up last year. Yes, he's 8, but I don't think you should sometimes ignore the obvious. And I think the defending champion has every chance of going in again.
Okay. Right. A couple of shouts there in the 5 o'clock, the 5:35. We move on to this one. Again, watch out for extra places. This is the Wolverton or the Wolverton. We'll let the lads decide how you pronounce it. But at the moment, at the time of recording, the prices are Patrick Sarsfield is our 15-4 favourite. Yeah, a 15-4 price. 5-1 for Felix, 11-2 Forest of Dean and Solid Stone. Ryan Moore and Sir Michael Stout combining there. Blue Cup, very impressive at Epsom, is the 15-2 next in the market. 12-1 for Eucan Glen. What a story Eucan Glen would be for Jim Goldie. Matt, you're first up for the Wolverton.
On ITV on Tuesday, my £20 challenge, all 20 of it will be going on Patrick Sarsfield. I don't think this is, it's a bit like some of the mayor's races at the Cheltenham Festival. I don't really see why this race is at Royal Ascot, to be quite frank. It's just a mile and a quarter listed event. I think Patrick Sarsfield is better than listed class. And I think he'll stay. He's got Mark on riding for Joseph O'Brien, same colours as they teamed up with to win the St. Ledger. Proven at the trip, good draw, high rating. What's there not to like? Patrick Sarsfield.
Ruby?
Yeah, I agree with Matt. Ground would be the only worry for Patrick Sarsfield if it got really quick. He's a Group 3 winner. He won the Mel Stakes last year. Just to pick you up on why you're the Mayor's race at the Cheltenham Festival, I think you only have to look at the value of mares at the store sales in the last couple of weeks to see what putting mares race at the Cheltenham Festival has done for the value of national hunt mares. That's another point. And I think outside of Juan Alcano, outside of Patrick Sarsfield, I'd be willing to give Juan Alcano another chance. Back on quick ground, ran disappointing in Doncaster back early in the year in March. He was placed in last year's guineas. I just think at 20-1, he could be overpriced each way.
But Patrick Sarsfield is your selection.
He's the one, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so two votes for Patrick Sarsfield in the Wolverton. And we conclude on day one with another wide open handicap, again for National Hunt trainers. Wow. Mile and three quarters a trip, and we've got a National Hunt trainer at the top of the market in Saldier, Willie Mullins, Ryan Moore, Rich Ritchie, seen it before. 5-2, Global Storm for Charlie Appleby, 4-1, 10-1 for Throne Hall for Kevin Ryan. On to victory for Alan King. Geez, we might be calling him a flat trainer soon rather than a jumps trainer, Alan King. He's 11-1, 12-1, Sleeping Lion, and Arthurian Fable. It's 16's bar. Ruby, you get the casting vote on the final race.
Yeah, I'm not going to oppose Saldier. And actually, okay, he's £3 well in the UK to what he is in Ireland. He got a £3 penalty for winning in the stall last week in Ireland, or more than £3. But he's 102 in Ireland. He runs off 99 in the UK. Yeah, I'm not going to oppose him. He's a great 1 minute hurdler in his own right. And I think when he got to the start in the stall and saw a set of stalls instead of flights of hurdles, it definitely changed his mentality. And he absolutely sluiced up. I wouldn't be for opposing him.
Very good. Mr. Chapman?
Well, in Mullins we trust. Over in Ireland, you trust in Mullins. We're trusting in our football players. Of course, you wouldn't be doing that, but we play football and we trust in our football players. So, Saudi A for me. I'm not going to say any more about it because I just agree with Ruby. Look, the horse is a grade one hurdler. This is very winnable. He seems to have a good handicap mark. And what's the not to like about this horse? I mean, he could be miles better than this lot of his current rating.
What's happening, lads? You're agreeing with each other a little bit too much for my liking here. That's the last two races.
This is the problem when you... This is why they don't always put great minds together.
Mm, for sure. Right, that is all the races on day one confirmed. Now we need your naps. No joy with your naps at the weekend. But Matt, you kindly said that I did have a winning nap. You kindly said that I did have a winning nap. And I think I took you on, actually.
There was a huge price as well. What price was your winning nap?
Hang on. I advised a 9-4. It was 9-4 at the time.
Then what price was it?
The Kennelly Millions. Forced it down to 11-8. It's a winning nap. Thank God. Jeez. Thank God. And I advise it 9-4. And as per the rules of this naps table, you get the price at the time of recording. That's always been the way. And that will always be the way. So, Ruby Walsh, your nap.
Well, I didn't have a losing nap at the weekend, PK, because
no, you didn't.
And as I've already told you, I will have to contact HR if you insist to text me and WhatsApp me whilst I am not working. That is breach of my human rights regulations.
Human rights, yeah. Okay. You can turn the phone off if you want.
Yeah, I mean, the question there is the human bit. But anyway, we'll move on.
Human rights. Human rights for getting a WhatsApp text. What's your nap for the weekend? Jeez. All right, go on.
Harassment in the workplace.
All right, go on.
The only nap on the card is Palace Pier, but how do you nap at 4-9? He's the only thing you'd say to yourself, like, that's the only winner I can really, really see. But for a nap, I'm trying to boost my...
not great record.
I'm already in the red, am I?
Yeah, you're back down. Yeah, because you were in front.
To sum up, Ruby, you'd need a 33-1 nap to even get in the mix.
No, not at all. No, that's not true. He did have one winner.
I've only had two naps.
exactly.
And I am going to go with Patrick Sarsfield.
Patrick Sarsfield in the Wolverton. Mr. Chapman, your nap on day one.
Well, I did say earlier in the pod, and obviously Ruby was listening, that Patrick Sarsfield is my nap of the day. I can't change it now. So we're both all in. Is that allowed under the rules?
It is allowed. It is allowed. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to force you to pick something that isn't your nap. That's
winners.
Fine.
We're trying to nap, Matt Chapman. Winners.
Win. Exactly. That's all I want. So two naps for Patrick Sarsfield. That's great. Okay.
And I can tell Ruby, you... Like, I have so much respect for you. You've always been a hero of mine.
Thanks, man.
The stadium is. I'm glad there's a podcast and people can't see your faces. Paddy Power has napped Lucky Vega in the St. James's Palace Stakes. So I've got that one in. Didn't forget, as I forgot when he snapped Snow.
Lay.
He did very well at the weekend, Matt, after all the
group. Eating?
Well, he might have eaten well as well, but he put up that 6-1 winner Chester in the Judd Moncolors, and he all sideshot. He had a 9-2 winner at Sandown as well, so you can start slagging him. But if you listen back, he did well at the weekend. He's gone for Lucky Vega. Frank Hickey has given me a nap as well on the first day. He's given you, it's very strong on Eve Lodge. We'll come to that in the Queen Mary, but he's actually gone with Cape Gentleman as well today, or sorry, on the first day, much like yourself, Ruby, but not napped. But he's napped that one. And I am going to nap a horse called Rayapur, trained by Willie Mullins, in the 5 o'clock. And I could give you the Frank Hickey reasons if you want. His second at Vichy, the winner of that race went on to finish second in the Belmont Gold Cup in New York. The third has since gone on to win twice. The fourth has won 5 times since, including at Group 3 and Group 2 level. So I'm hoping that Rayapur was never going to be a hurdler for you, for Ruby and Willie. He's actually going to be a flat horse. And off his rating, he's got a chance in the 5 o'clock. That's it, lads. We'll be back tomorrow for day 2 of Royal Ascot. Thank you for your company. Enjoy all the winners, Matt. Hope you're nice and busy. You will be for the next 6 days.